Today we begin Klal Samach Zayin. We learned the dinim of Bishul Akum and the dinim of Afias Akum and the dinim of drinking with non-Jews. And now we move to the rules of Din Cholav Chema or Gvina Shalgai. People are not fully aware that there is a major difference between the laws of milk that come from a non-Jew. Milk includes things like ice cream and butter of a non-Jew, which has different rules, and cheese that come from a non-Jew. Even non-Chol of Yisrael cheese has to be made with the presence of a Jew. Nobody would eat cheese without a hechsher, because cheese without a hechsher is inherently treif, as we're going to learn. There's Chol of Yisrael cheese and non-Chol of Yisrael cheese. That has to do with where the milk comes from. But in both cases, there's a Jew present, a Jew participating in the change of milk, making a change to cheese. So there are three different rules: milk, cheese, and butter. And I guess when we finish it, we'll have to figure out where cottage cheese or sour cream, where it fits in. Is cottage cheese or is cottage cheese milk? So we'll get to that.
Does Chasnus have anything to do with this?
Not at all. The issue of milk has nothing to do with chasnus. It has to do primarily with the fear, in the case of milk, not cheese, but in the case of milk, the fear that the milk is not purely cow's milk. In the case of cheese, the fear that the agent that causes it to coagulate and turn into cheese is a non-kosher agent, which is the typical... which was, at least in time of Chazal, very typical, typically used. So we're going to see, we're going to learn about this. Well, let's start with Aleph, milk. HaCholav shalakum af pishaloi hoya gezeru mechletes min Chazal kamei gavina. Even though it doesn't have the same level of absolute gezeru that we find by cheese, shagazru alea, dafili yadua bevadai. In the case of cheese, even though for certain, shein by shum davarisa, it's an absolute gezeir against non-Jews, cheese of a non-Jew. And therefore there's no question that non-Jewish cheese is absolutely forbidden. But in the case of milk, it was not an absolute gezeir. The gezeirah was made only in places where there's a reason to say that it's possible that milk of a non-kosher animal is mixed in. Even though it might be a long shot that it might have happened, whatever Chazal forbade, now, I'm going to explain why he has such a long lush and such a long language. Normally, you just say it's aser. Here he's saying it has to be possible, but not probable. It has to be possible that non-Jewish milk is mixed in. And when I say non-Jewish, I mean not from a non-kosher animal. Even though it's rachik, even though it's only a very distant possibility, it's forbidden. Non-Jew milks his cow without a Jew's observing it. No difference if he did it for his own purposes or to give to a Jew. So therefore the rule is the following. The best option. The Jew should be there at the milking. And he should check the keli in which the milk goes and make sure that it's empty. Afilu ein davar tomei be'edra, even if there is no camel or other treif animal in the farm. Afilu b'di'evet asurim loy ra t'chila b'kli, v'ayasham b'tchila sachaleva ledas kol ha'achrayinim. Afilu ein b'chola ir davar tomei lachleiv, even if there's not a single non-kosher animal in the whole city. It's a gzeira. As long as it's possible, then it's awesome. Now this, I want to come back to these parentheses. Oh, so in the parentheses, talks about the whole town. I want to come back to the parentheses because that was a tumult. It's not, Rav Moshe is not the first one to talk about, Chalav, so-called Chalav Stam. So the parentheses here records an incident with the Prichadosh, which I want to come back to. But first, let's read about the basic Azera, and then we'll come back to it. This has nothing to do with Gavina, right? Right, Gavina, which is typically made with non-Jewish ingredients, is absolutely awesome. There are no exceptions. What's the exception for milk? A Jew, you see, they don't make cheese in the farms where they milk the cows. What they do is they milk cows. And now it's interesting, in the 21st century, they don't use the same cows for milk as they use cows to milk for cheese. Why? Because they feed the cheese-producing milk cows a diet that will give it a thicker milk, a milk that has a higher butterfat content. So that cheese is made basically in Wisconsin. All the cheese, certainly all the kosher cheese, is made in Wisconsin. There's one Rabbi Ort, if I remember his name, who lives in Milwaukee. I've spoken to him on the phone. And he's the hechsher for everybody. You know, the Chassidus Hechsherim, the OU, and the Star K, and I don't know if it changed, but when I spoke to him last, he's the hechsher for everybody. It's all made in Wisconsin, cheeses. And every time cheese is made, there's a Jew in the plant who physically places the first ingredients into the milk. Hard cheese. Yeah, I'm not talking about cream cheese. I'm talking about hard cheese and even American cheese, which is, you know, not so much of a cheese, but it's also. Yeah, all those cheeses. So those cheeses are made there. Now, our milk doesn't come from Wisconsin. Our milk comes from New Jersey, where they have a different type of cows, the cows that are fed diets that are good for milk. Jersey cows, yeah.
Jersey cows.
So you can get low-fat milk or high-fat milk, which not so much of a difference. It's very interesting to say it, let's say 2% on it. But if you realize that the high-fat is 5%, so you're not changing it too much. But
what's the criteria for no possibility?
Oh, okay. So let's talk about milk. We'll talk about cheese and butter next time. What is the criteria for an exception? We're all looking for exceptions. So what type of milk would be an exception? So I'm going to skip the parentheses temporarily. Let's finish the body of what he says and come back to the parts and parentheses. Now here he says, in the entire city, there's not a single non-kosher animal that produces milk, and there could be cats, pets, but it means there's no milk-producing non-kosher animal. So that they were matir. Tzarech lirais kaidem achaliva b'kli shalayayu b'chalav, gam tzarech lirais achaliva b'tchila v'atzayfu ki yaitzev, b'yaitzev v'nichnis. And you have to watch the milking coming and going. Now here, this oy is important. If we needed for Chalav Yisrael to have a Jew watch the milking of each cow with his own eyes, you would need as many mashkichim as you have cows. And there are a lot of cows there. And it would be very, very difficult. Each one has to watch a milking. So there is oy, ba'imid b'tzad harefes mi b'chutz. Another option is the mashkiach stands by the door outside. He doesn't go anywhere else. And he watches what goes into the barn, into the milking facility. And he makes sure that only cows go in there. The kimendei dava tami be'eder, oiberefes. If he knows that in this corral or this barn, there are no non-kosher animals, and kachashash elum shum ziyuf. The only chashash is that they're going to later on mix something else in. Now, what he's saying is, and this exception has ramifications, is that you don't have to watch the milking. You can stand by the door, watch the cows come in, and that's adequate. Now, we're going to get back to this. If there's no non-kosher animal in this farm, even though he didn't look at the kli, kibin shirak upon him a chalivi eshlahati b'shasatchak. So even not checking the keli could be his mutal lachain chatchila dogu lahachmir shloyachle b'kli shenachrus cheleves by. Don't use the same utensil that the non-Jew milk shem and nisharu by tzitzuche cholav. Maybe it wasn't washed out well. But the ever ayaderech ein lachush. Okay, so what he's saying as a rule is that there's an exception if there are no non-kosher animals in town, which you have to verify. In a small town, it's easy. In a big town, it's harder. And you have this cool love standing by the door and watching it come in. Now, in the parentheses, he records here a dispute that took place, I believe, around the time of Gezeres Tachvatat, when the Ashkenazi communities were uprooted, and it just wasn't as easy to have your system of Chol of Yisrael. The Pri Chadash was one of the Gedolei Yisrael who ran away from Eastern Europe during Tachvatat. He ended up in the Netherlands. And the Pri Chadash became a Rav there, the Pesach of the area. And he paskined that you don't have to, pretty much that you don't have to watch the milking. That in his town, in the towns in his area, there were no non-kosher animals, and everything's kosher. That's what he paskined.
Different than what we just said.
But, he explained, why don't we say they made a gezeira, like plug? See, he says, and this is a rule of thumb, that when the original gezeira was made with exceptions, you can continue with exceptions. See, he learns that when Chazal said you don't have to watch the milking, you could stand at the door of the barn, and if only kosher cows go in, you could be sure only kosher milk is coming out. They were saying that the gezeira, that you have to watch the milking, is not absolute. It's enough to have circumstantial evidence. Now you have circumstantial evidence, that's adequate. So therefore the gezeira was not originally made as an absolute gezeira, and therefore that's good enough. Rav Meisha, Digris Meisha, does not agree with that. He disagrees with the Pri Chadash, and he says the gezeira is a loy plug. Rav Meisha Shita is that it's not adequate to know there are no non-kosher animals around. It's not enough.
Because that's
itself was the issue. Because Rav Meisha holds, there's not pshat if you stand by the door, it's an exception. Pshat is that itself is hashkacha. You have a mashkiach. You have to have a hashkacha. So what is Rav Meisha's kula l'gabi chal of Yisrael? His kula is something else. Rav Meisha has a shita, numerous tshuvas. They have nothing to do with chal of Yisrael. Rav Meisha has a yisoid that when you know something, you don't have to investigate. The way I like to explain this to my class is I tell them, let's say two witnesses come into Beis Din and they say, Reuven killed Shimon. We gave him Asra, he killed Shimon. So Beis Din questions the two witnesses and they paskin that Reuven's chayav misa. They're going to take him out to kill him the next day. They're going to choke him. Chenek, right? Ritzicha. Saif. Okay, I'm sorry. Saif. Yeah, they saw two witnesses. They question him and they say, Reuven killed Shimon. So the next day, they're about to take him out, and Shimon walks into Beis Din. And Shimon doesn't look dead. So Beis Din says, okay, Reuven, you're not chayav misa. Now, there's no question that that's true. I asked my class, why? Two witnesses is the biggest proof. Two witnesses is the biggest proof, and when you have two witnesses, it should be enough. So they always answer, but it's a non-sadi that Reuven didn't kill Shimon. So I always tell them, it could be different classes, the same exchange. I always tell them, so it's trey v'trey. You have two witnesses against two witnesses. Two is they killed him. Against that anxiety, he didn't kill him. It's trey v'trey. It's like a suffix, right? So they say, no, it's not a suffix. Shimon's alive. So explain to me, if you have two witnesses, why we don't kill Reuven?
The Rambam, yeah.
The what?
It's a beerer.
That's what he's saying, that we only need witnesses when we're not sure about something. If you're certain, you don't need witnesses. You're right? That's the aside in Edom. Edom is when you're not sure. There's a Gemara that says that Moshe and Aaron are not kosher to be two witnesses. They're brothers. So Rabbi Chanan comments, he's not the first to be shy to make these type of comments, but Rabbi Chanan comments that it may be true if our Moshe Rabbeinu and our Kohen say something, they're not two witnesses, but we can be positive that the fact is as they say. In other words, you can pass it, not based on two witnesses, but based on an Ansadi.
Then it's that way.
You can't kill based on Ansadi. Yeah. But you know. So, Rav Moshe's Shita is that when someone has an absolute personal yediyah, you don't need two witnesses.
But in the first case, it's based on direct evidence. You see Shimon. So does that mean the Mashgiach, before he stands by the door, has to make sure that every animal that goes in or that is already in there...
Is a cow.
Is a cow.
Yeah, got to make sure it's a kosher animal. Could be sheep, but it can't. So Rav Moshe writes this in numerous places. Rav Moshe originally wrote this in a tshuva when he was still in Russia, when he was about 30 years old. He wrote a long tshuva about from parents whose children became communists, and they were elderly and infirm. They were living by their children. And Api Halacha, their children were not trusted for kashrus. But they write to Rav Moshe, the Shaila, that, our children are very respectful of us, and they wouldn't give us treifa stuff. But Halacha says we can't trust them. So Rav Moshe there writes this yesod, that if you know, you don't need a din emanus. If you're certain from your experiences that they wouldn't give you something treif, then you're allowed to trust them, because you don't need witnesses. If you know, then you know. He brings the Gemara, Ksubis, the favorite Gemara, the Gemara with Rava. Rava was doing it in Tyra. You can just picture this. Rava's doing it in Tyra, and he paskin, the person has to swear. So his wife was Rav Chista's daughter. So his wife, Rava's wife. So his wife says, "Hey, Rava, don't trust that guy, he's a crook." So Rava said, "Okay. You can't swear." He was mahapach the shvua. He said, the other guy swears and wins. Then the Gemara says, later, there was another din Tyra. The same thing, Rava passed in somebody else. Rava said, you have to swear. So Rav Papa went over to Rava. He said, Rava, don't trust this guy, he's a crook. So Rava says to Rav Papa, you're one witness, do you have a second witness? He said, no. So Rava said, you can't, he has to let him swear. So the Gemara says, Lo yehei Rav Papa kabas Rav Chista? Rav Papa's not good enough like Rav Chista, his daughter? So Gemara answers that Rav Papa's daughter, Rav Chista's daughter is different, Rav Anua. So Rav Moshe explains, Rav Anua, with certainty, from experience, she never lied. Rav Papa had a cheskas kashrus. But he didn't know he never lies, just he had a cheskas kashrus. So Rav Moshe says, from there we see that when you know, you don't need a dinei, this even a dinei mamon, very big chiddush.
Don't you need a better makar than that, like from the Torah or something?
That's the Torah. The Gemara is all Torah.
You need a pasuk.
There's nothing better than a Gemara. No. The Gemara talks about edus when you don't know. Edus are mevarer, like the Reb Chaim said. It's edus levurei, edus to prove things. If you're certain, so you don't need edus to prove anything.
So, two of them come and say, "Plony a traitor." Your wife tells you, "No, she knows you wouldn't be traitors. You wouldn't give Malchus and those two aidens."
That's what Ramesh is saying.
Whose wife?
It's funny, you go to someone.
Whose wife said that?
Anybody's wife. It doesn't matter whose wife. It means if the dayan knows for certain, then he can't pass condemn. If you have two eidim say he ate, and the dayan saw in his own eyes that, whatever it was didn't happen, he can't pass condemn. The Gra, the Gra has his line. He says, "Kol dayan shadon din emes lamitai is nasashutav lakodesh baruch ha'maisa b'reishis." So the Gran Mishle writes, what's Emes Lamitai? Emes is Emes. What's Emes Lamitai? So he says there are two Emes. There's an Emes in Torah. You have to know what Halacha says. But you also have to be Emes Lehanhogas Ha'ilam. You also have to know. You have to know the world. You have to know the ways of the world. You can't be a Dayan if you're a cloistered person who's a big tzaddik and doesn't know what's going on in the world. You have to be
Emes Lamitai.
That's true. That's true. So anyway, the point of Yediya is Ramesh's point. Ramesh's chiddush of Achol of Yisrael is that since they are government inspectors, we know for certain that no company would risk mixing non-kosher milk into the kosher milk. And although there are those who say that since Reagan, there aren't very many government inspectors, Reagan cut the government budget and things that are not, that don't take away from the quality of life of people. So the inspectors are few and far between. Nevertheless, the companies, it's just bad press, you know, it just doesn't go over well. And there's a certain assumption of Yedia that it's all cow's milk. So that's Ramesh's Heter. Now, the point though is that it's not just this Chiddush of Ramesh. You have to remember the Pri Chadash is a strong tzeruf. The Pri Chadash holds that the Chol of Yisrael...
Even if you don't even, his Chiddush is even greater.
Pri Chadash is greater, but it's on familiar territory. Wow. You say it's a familiar type of heter. You know, it's light plug. It's not light plug. We could argue Pri Chadash holds that. He holds it is. Ramesh is the bigger Chiddush.
Because
he has a new Yisayid. Now I do want to mention that Ramesh passed away in 86, and in the 90s it became clear that the non-Chol of Yisrael milk in the United States has an additional problem, a trephis issue, which is far more serious than the Chol of issue because of surgery, which is routinely done to cows. Cows develop intestinal problems, stomach problems because of the diet they're fed, gas problems. And there is a surgery that's done. The surgery renders a treph like most paiskim. And that's far more serious. The chol of the milk of a treif animal is itself treif, minatayra. Although, the milk, when it mixes with the other milk, is batel barayv. Mimbimina is batel barayv. It's a shail of treifus that's the rabbanon dik treifus. The rabbanon dik iser of treifus. Now, this is a far more serious issue, which Ramesh didn't address. Ramesh's heta doesn't apply to this. No, not shishim, barayv. Midrabani, the shishim, there's no shishim. Originally, though, you said there's shishim, that it's less than 2%, but statistically, it's not true. It's more than 2%. The fifth volume we have here of the Rabbi Bleich's contemporary halachis, he has an article on it and explains ba'arichus the issue. Rebelski held of a heter, which is a chiddush, that even though the animal is treif at one point, once it heals, it becomes non-treif, which is a chiddush, which there was a paisik who held that way. Rabbi Bleich writes, he doesn't find anybody who agrees with Rebelski on the point, no contemporary paisik that agrees. But Rebelski was matir. Rebelski, when the tumuli was going on, told me he just came from Rapam's house. Rapam was masking. Rapam came, I asked him, and Rapam said that they told him there's over $1 million worth of cheese in the warehouse made from this milk. It's hefsid meruba. Rapam was samech on something else, on a prima gadim, that says if the incision is made at an angle instead of straight, it's not treif. But it's hefsid meruba heter. It's not really a lachat chiladik heter. Right. So anyway, it's a totally separate issue, and it's really a reason... at least when it's not difficult to be makbid on Chol of Yisrael today, because it's like Tati L'Reya, so you have two shaylas already in the Chol of Yisrael. It's one thing if someone is mekel when he travels, but to be mekel when you go into the grocery and you have people spending $2, $3 on a coffee, and they're not willing to spend the extra 30 cents on a container of Chol of Yisrael milk, it's hard to call that hefsid meruba.
This thing about...
That's a problem with all milk products. It's a problem with all. Well, you have to know, yeah, by butter also, and presumably by cheese as well. So, I just want to mention at Rebelski's Levaya, one of Maspidim said, and I winced because. He said, we have to thank Rebelski. If not for Rebelski, we wouldn't be having milk. If we wouldn't have Rebelski, we wouldn't be having water. If we wouldn't have Rebelski, we wouldn't be having fish. If we wouldn't have Rebelski, we wouldn't have, like, all Rebelski's coolers. Like, that's, you know, from his perspective, I don't blame him. But that's not the godless of Rebelski. He was a big mekel when it came to kashrus. And then he's a das yachid. He said he's the only one. No one agrees. Like, he said, no one agrees with him. And we all do it based on Rebelski. Like, that's not a, you know, it's nice. It's not the godless.
They wanted to ask the Chavis Yisrael too.
Originally, they did ask it. The Chavis Yisrael at the time was not used until Chavis Yisrael got their act together.
What?
If you remember, that summer, when the Tumel came out, we were not eating milk for a week or two until things go straightened out. I mean,
I think right away.
Because the Chavis Yisrael companies do not own cows. They go into places and they milk. So they milk only, they only use the cows that don't have the surgery. Every cow has an ID number and... Well, that's what it is at Mashgiach, because they have a list. Every cow has an ID number and they have a list of which cows to use as part of the hechsher. That's why you're paying for it, Chav Yisrael. What? Yeah, yeah. Presumably. I mean, that's what they say. I hope they're correct. I'm told it's interesting that Rav Herschel Schechter doesn't drink milk or milk products. I'm told that Rav Herschel Schechter doesn't drink any milk or milk products because of these, I don't know exactly which Shiloh, but these types of Shilohs. Do you know which Shiloh?
They use old cows. The old cows become
They become trafer. Yeah, okay. It's scary when you have the Pesach, for all you himself doesn't use any of these things. What? Well, he probably, holds his heter, but it's not a lie.
He had a chumrah that their soul doesn't like, which was that you can't put videos in the bonds and things like that.
It's not a chumrah, no one does it, so it's not, Yeah, everyone wanted to do it.
Rabowski
didn't laugh. Rabowski didn't laugh, but no one does it. There is no one who does it because they don't give a hechsher on Nachal. So they don't give a hechsher on Nachal Yisrael. There's not a single hechsher on Nachal Yisrael. But there's nothing to rectify. It's Yisrael. There's no such thing as Nachal Yisrael. I was in Switzerland for a wedding and I stayed in a family. And judging by looking at the family, not judging anybody, but you know, it was a Kippas Ruga family, so I wasn't sure if it's Chav Yisrael. I didn't mean to offend them. So I come to breakfast, and, there's milk and milk on the table. I asked him, is it Chav Yisrael? The guy got insulted. He said, well, you think we're Goyim? I said, I'm sorry. I thought maybe, see, he told me this was in Zurich, he told me that they don't have milk every day. Twice a week they get milk from France, I think he told me, and they don't always have fresh milk. And they wouldn't use anything but Chav Yisrael in Europe because there was nobody that had such a
habit.
May well be that there's no government inspector.
They have a lot of farms. They have
camels. They have camels there. It could be, I don't know. I'm just telling you, if you go to Switzerland, don't offend your host by asking this question. Anyway, this is the background of the whole thing. And again, the whole tumult with the parentheses, in all tumult, it's not Ramesh's tumult. The tumult, whether it's a light plug or not, is a very old tumult. And this year we're learning Gittin. The rule that I mentioned many times from Yassin Eipschitz, that if a gezeirah was originally made without a loy plug, then you could have exceptions later. We found the Pischei Tshuva in Hilchas Gittin. The Pischei Tshuva says this rule. And as the years go on, they have more and more Marim HaKaimis for such a rule. Okay, tomorrow we will pick up from Ice Base. The premise is what I told you, this tumul, what he says there, just quickly, in the beginning of the parentheses, I'm Chuvas Tashbats, a Kafta Beperach, Shev Sefer Eitim, Im Ein Bechol Oysa Medina Tavatame Mutter, if in the whole country there's no Tavatame, it's permitted, Vesiyim Yeshma Chimirin, even if there's not a single trade for animal in the whole country, Kimishkol G'dayla Vishayna Vachroinim Ein Echa Shiaske Hetezeh, Shema Amina Kulam Kiblu Aleihem, Ki Yeshma Chimirin. So he's saying that this was a Tumul, Kainu Aslainu Kholi Sur Shekabanu Lifsek, Now, this was the tumult. The Aruch HaShulchan, uncharacteristically, brings here, he says, Maisa Shahaya, a man who traveled, and he always stopped in the same coffee house, and he had coffee with milk. And, he commented that, one of his trips, he commented that the milk here is very, very good, the cream is very good, where do you get it? And the owner showed him, I think he writes, if I remember correctly, that he boils some animal brains into the milk and it gives it a thickness of some sort. So the person said, wow, I'm drinking Nivela all these years. He said, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that you should know that when Chazal asked the things, they told you a tam nigla, and there kama tamim nistarim. There are many other reasons for the gezeira. He writes, v'chol Yisrael, there are tamim nistarim, and people should be machmir. Okay, we're passing from tamim nistarim, but that's the Aruch HaShulchan. You like the Aruch HaShulchan, you should be drinking chol Yisrael. Anything that's not chol Yisrael.
Why is it Rogovsky?